sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Episode 100. Officially, episode 100 in Ottawa during Caravana Weekend. I used to think that it was way too cold till I went to Canada and saw some beautiful hoes. Now I hit the Caravana every year in Toronto. Then I fly to Illinois to get a taste of Chicago.
Yay!
I mean. Thank you. Welcome and bienvenue to the 100th, officially 100th. I know there was an unofficial episode, but this is the officially kickstart 100th episode of Shut Up Podcast. I'm still your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B.
Yay!
That's what's up. Okay, all right. You know what? Before I continue, I'm gonna remind y'all, like I always remind you, that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul of the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on August 6, 2023. It's a little warm out there. Sun's going down. Kind of great. Sun's going down. All right. I guess I should point out that it's 7:17 p.m. Excuse me. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, yes, I'm making a big deal out of episode 100. I'm going later on after this to celebrate. Me and the crew are going to go see Mission Impossible. Should be popping champagne, yes. All right, so in the intro, okay, you know what? For new listeners, let me just break it down for you, all right? This episode, every episode of Shut Up Podcast is broken down into three acts. First one is the intro. Second one is called News and Random Thoughts. And last one is Final Thoughts. And in the intro, I just, you know, like to read off quotes, remember certain dates, certain important, you know, probably comment about the weather and say how you're doing. I did mention that Final Thoughts will be on the fact that I'm in Ottawa during Caravana Weekend. And if you don't live in Ontario or my part of Canada or never heard of a caravana, you probably haven't. What's the big deal? What the fuck? Just a bunch of niggers congregating. I mean, you know, I'll elaborate on that, man. I'll elaborate. Okay. Oh, I'm kind of freaking out because I have my phone recording me at this moment. And I use this auto frame feature. And it's kind of weird because I'm wearing this t-shirt of Coolie High t-shirt, right? And when I get too close, maybe my belly's too big. It auto frames my face, and then they try to auto frame the
faces on my t-shirt, which was kind of, I didn't like how it zoomed on my belly. I think it was low-key trying to fat shame me. I'm, yeah, look at me. You have no idea what I'm talking about because I'm not going to publish the video version of this thing. So, yeah, no idea what I'm talking about. So just take my word for it. Okay. All right. Yeah, like I mentioned, 100th episode. The previous, last episode I did was just to do everything that I would have probably done in the intro. It was just brag about the fact that I made it to 100. But I also committed on the 100th episode I talked about, on the last episode, I talked about how the next 100, what I'm going to do now, my focus is going to be on the people who I know, my target audience, basically. The first 100 is me trying to find my voice. Oh, I'm still trying to find my voice, but the first 100 was me overthinking or focusing my thoughts on the people who are not going to like this podcast. And you're probably wondering, why the fuck would you do that? Because I'm insecure, all right? Look, I'm a work in progress. I'm just like you. Look, don't fuck. Look, man, you know better. If you're one of those people who have dreams or think about things they want to do and the only thing you can think about is everything that can go wrong, then you know better than me, all right? Human nature. Yes, if I'm sounding a little defensive because I just had an image of I'm working on this because as I said that last statement, I had an image of someone popping up and, well, that's stupid. Why would you do that? So, my greatest enemy is the motherfucker inside my head right now. Yeah, but I guess that goes to say for all of us. But anyway, right. So like I said, every episode in order to fulfill this commitment, every episode is like going to the gym. And the muscle I'm working on that I'm trying to develop is the muscle that allows me to say, shut the fuck up to my negative self-talk. I'm also going to do this thing. I'm not going to stress myself over time like I usually do. Now, granted, I don't like doing an episode and sharing a whole bunch of shit that's just going to go over your head. Like, on one end, I feel like the teacher who's like trying to go through the syllabus and trying to cram as much information as they can. But I know there's only so much your brain, your ears. Like, there's only so much of your time I can request. But on the other end, I like to talk. So I'm still working on that balance. But I'm just saying I'm not going to stress myself as much as I used to with time. Last thing that I wrote is entertaining. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Yeah, no more trying to entertain. No more trying to reach out to people to the uninterested. I know you would think that would be an easier thing to do. That would be easier said than done. You would think that would be like common sense. But common sense is not always common practice. But I'm making myself mindful of every time. Anytime I find myself being stressed on this podcast, the question I'm asking, are you trying to entertain the uninterested? Are you trying to entertain the motherfuckers who can't be entertained? Are you trying to make happy people who can't be happy? Yeah. And yeah, so that's the focus. And last but not least, on the last episode, no, not the last, the previous one, episode 99, it was on the same week that we found out that Sinead O'Connor had passed away. So I just wanted to say an RIP, Sinead O'Connor. In the final thoughts, I'll share some brief thoughts about her. So RIP, Sinead O'Connor. She died on July 26, 2023. RIP to Angus Cloud. He's the dude who played Fez on Euphoria. And it took me a while. It's only after his death, like, homie passed away from... it seems like from an overdose, which is sad. I mean, yeah, it's sad. But it just hit me. That character, Fez, reminded me of this dude that I knew back in the time. I used to live in Cali and in the Bay Area, and I used to buy some weed from this guy and this white dude. And fuck, they talked the same. And yeah, man. Look, RIP Angus Cloud. And... and the guy that he reminds me of, I hope he's doing well in life. Okay, last but not least, I'm going to read some 15 hard truths of Psychology and Life. This is courtesy of someone I follow on Twitter, and their name is Mind Essentials. Now, I didn't read all of it. I got to be careful. Sometimes I follow people that, you know, I'm just going to read it, and hopefully no surprises. So the first one goes, your ability to feel others people's pain doesn't mean it's your responsibility to fix it. This one hits home. Joyful, yeah, okay. Two, if you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm not trying to preach to you. This is not meant to be preachy. This is just meant to quote that just hit me. And I'm hoping it hits you the same way it hit me. Nothing strengthens authority so much as silence. Nothing strengthens authority so much as silence. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, I'm going to need to let that one marinate. Before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that make him sick. Hippocrates. Okay. I guess by him, he means ask them. But yeah. Five, if you have the ability to love, love yourself first. Charles Bukowski. I like that guy. I don't know him personally, but he says some shit online that I like. Thinking is difficult. That's why most people judge. The ability to observe without evaluating is the highest form of intelligence. All right. Eight, the essential. The wisdom of life consists in the elimination of the non-essentials. Ling Yutang. Escape, the perks of being unavailable. Without great solitude, no serious work is possible. 9, 10, uncommit. Wingbin. Half of the troubles of this life can be traced to saying yes too quickly and not saying no soon enough. Josh Billings. You know, all this is going to be in the show notes, by the way. To attain knowledge and add things every day. To attain wisdom, subtract things every day. Lao Tzu. 12. Every day, do something that will inch you closer to a better tomorrow. Yeah, easier said than done. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that you now have once among the things you only hope for. Epicurus. Man, you know what? I ain't feeling these ones. Most of your friends aren't really your friends. Oh, I knew that. They're just along for the ride when it's fun, convenient, and valuable. Your real friends are the ones who are there for you when it's none of those, when you have nothing to offer in return. Shahil Bloom. And finally, the last one. Doctors won't make you healthy. Nutritionists won't make you slim. Teachers won't make you smart. Gurus won't make you calm. Mentors won't make you rich. Trainers won't make you fit. Ultimately, you have to take responsibility, save yourself. Neville Ravikant. All right. Okay. Well, again, in the show notes. And that's how we're going to kickstart the show. I think I had a last one here that I stole from, my man, Talon Macy, who I'll be seeing on September 8th. You're not a nobody. You're somebody who was underestimated by nobodies who think there's somebody. Keep going. Oh, man. You just described people who live in Ottawa. All right. Okay. And this concludes our introduction. I went 2 minutes over, but like I said, not stressing over time. It's been a while since we talked, so I got a lot to talk about. All right, let's jump to news and random thoughts and get this shit going. All right, you ready, kids? Hang on. Bam, bam. Damn, that's a loud echo. Hold on. Headphones on. Okay. All right, first one, only because this is current news. Do you guys know the name Kai Cenat? Exactly. You shouldn't. If you're my age, shame on you for knowing him. So apparently, homeboy is like a social media influencer with a million followers. Is that a million followers? And homeboy decided to do some kind of contest. Not contest, but some giveaway. He was giving out, PS5 game? PS4? PS5? PlayStation 5? And gift cards. And he did that in Manhattan, New York, right? And he said, yo, come meet me. I'm going to be like Jesus giving him out and stuff like that. You know what? It makes you wonder how... It doesn't matter. Whatever, right? He's got dreads like Jesus. I'm saying if Jesus was black, he'd have dreads, right? Would he have an afro? Would he have dreads? You know what? Focus me. Yeah. Case in that, only reason I'm bringing him up is because he's a social media influencer and motherfuckers got a million people following him. Okay, shocks me. It kills me that I did not know this, but on the other end, it also humbled me and made me realize that there's a lot of things about this world I do not know. This dude had this giveaway, and he said, yo, meet me downtown Manhattan, New York. And that shit led to, of course, he didn't organize anything, you know, like have a gate and stuff like that. Like, I wonder how Jesus, when he fed the millions, did he have, like, how did, where the logistic to that shit? Anyways, homeboy just showed up, not organized, and it turned into chaos. You know, them kids showed up, and it turned into, look, it's in the news, man. Just Google the name, K-Sanat, and you'll see that it's, for me, it's a fascinating, it's an interesting story. It also humbled me. I'm like, how the fuck did I not know this? How the fuck do I not know this guy if he's this popular? It was a reminder that, A, I'm getting old, you know. Fuck am I doing in children's business? And B, I don't know everything. There's a lot going on in this world that I am not aware of. And that story, I just used it as a reminder. All right, next. I call this clip of the day. a fight, a nigger and a white. If the nigger jump, if the nigger don't win, then we all jump in. Shout out to Apache, RIP. Okay, I'm not going to play this, well, because you won't be able to see it, right? But you'll be able to play it for your own. But it's just something that's going around the internet, fight on the dock, in Montgomery, Alabama, riverboat. Apparently the story is, these white folks in a pontoon, which is a smaller boat, I believe, docked their boat in a place where a bigger boat was supposed to show up, and the security guard was saying, I imagine it was polite, he says, excuse me, sir, Mr. White Man, please move your pontoon so these people can move in. And I'm speculating, I don't know the details to what happened, but since it involves black and white people, I'm going to speculate. I'm going to imagine that the white people said, fuck you, nigger, all right? Just because Obama was president doesn't mean you can tell what to do, nigger, whatever, right? Because long story short, the clip starts with this white dude, shirtless white dude. Hold on. The shirtless white guy kicking the black dude, right? My point is somewhere between the security guard telling them, hey, y'all need to move your shit. I don't know the details, but it led to a fight. I'm going to assume it must have been racial. anyways, the white dude gets off and he kicks the security guard. And then at some point, the security guard throws his hat in the air and all hell broke loose. All right. Oh, this is amazing. So the beauty to this video, the reason why I'm bringing it, this is why it's the clip of the day, is because, you know, the black and white element. So first, it's like that story that Eddie Murphy was in. That story Eddie Murphy said on the Eddie Murphy Delirious, where he talks about he's in a club, and then these white dudes must have seen Rocky. They must have seen Rocky, and then they felt all tough, and then they jumped this one black security guard, and then next thing you know, black people from all over the place, one even swam all over the place, came to homeboy's rescue. That shit reminded me of when I was in high school, and you know, because I live in Canada, in Ottawa, and white people aren't too bright when it comes to race, right? And every once in a while, there'll be a white person, a white dude, who would learn the hard way that using the N-word is not the way to engage one black guy into a fight. Look, if you got a problem with another black dude, he slept with your girlfriend, whatever, right? And you want to fight him, that's your business. But under no circumstances do you drop the N-word, because that just summons all our ancestors to be like, oh, boom, 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 boom. The drums, you know. Sorry, I just spilled my Coke Zero. Shout out to the lid. Thank you. Thank God. I forgot. I thought I'd be cleaning a mess here. Anyway, yeah. So, what was I saying? Yeah. You don't use the N-word to engage. Look, I'm not the type of person to tell white people what to do, because they're going to do whatever the fuck they're going to do. But I'm saying, when it comes to the N-word, that's not the way. If you want to engage me into a one-on-one, you know, hey, fatso, come on, you know, just come on, let's do this. you four-eyed motherfucker. Fuck you and your podcast. You know what I mean? Do shit like that. But don't be like, yo, fuck you, nigger. Let's fight, nigger. I'm like, ah, okay. Call up the homies. It's about to go down. Anyway, so this clip, which you could watch on your own, it's 3:23, and I encourage black folks. You know what I mean? You're gonna, it's an enjoyable move. It's an enjoyable clip. Seeing how we come together. I mean, it sucks that towards at the end, one dude goes a little too far and hits one of the people with a chair. I mean, and he did it in front of a cop, so he gets arrested. So, you know, it's kind of it's some shameful shit. I mean, I'm kind of interested to see how this thing concludes. But as a black person, you will enjoy watching this. Needless to say, I should warn you that if you don't like violence, don't watch it. If violence bothers you, then yeah. I'm not dissing you if you don't. I'm just saying, I know for some people, when it comes to violence, some people are sensitive to violence. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but yeah. If you don't like violence, don't watch that shit. Viewer discretion is strongly advised. But if you're a fucked up individual like me, you will watch this. And it might lift up your spirit. Seeing black folks come together. It's a shame black folks can't come together for shit, but we can come together for an ass whooping. That's one thing we can't do. We can't come together for the vote. We can't come together for... No, that's not true. We can't come together for... Sorry, I was trying to be like my Farrakhan. But anyways, clip of the day. Watch it. Thank me. You're welcome after you watch it. All right? And this is just like breaking news. Like, this is shit going viral right now. What are we? What did I say? August 6th? Yeah, just right now. All right. Now, let's stick to what I did have on the agenda. What time is it? Okay. All right. First one. I said, white lady is right, though. Okay, yeah. Okay, so there's a clip of... Okay, I'll just play it. And just the interesting part. So there's a clip online, and this black guy, he's asking... Here, I'll just play it. Okay, here we go.
Caucasian.
I gotta guess.
Hold on. Resistity?
Caucasian. Caucasian.
I gotta guess. If you guys could be
Oh, so he's asking their ethnicity. Okay, so here we go. Now, this is where shit gets controversial.
I gotta guess. If you guys could be one race for a day, what would you be and why?
We're the superior race. Like, not as in, not as in like that.
Oh, that's mad.
We are the
That's a nice German answer.
Like, I'm not gonna be like, I want to be black, because you guys have a terrible time of it.
Okay. So what would you be after that crazy
I'll be mixed race.
Why, and why is that?
My ex-boyfriend was mixed race growing up, but he never got it.
The white lady who said, you know, superior race, she hides. Now, here's one thing, right? I'm not mad at the superior. Look, no, fuck that. I am, okay. I'm going to be accused of being a Captain Save a white woman. But fuck it. You know what? It's my podcast. I speak freely, and this is what I'm saying. I'm not mad at what she said. Because to be honest with you, if I was white, I would not want to be black. Kind of like the same way as a man, I would not want to be a woman. I'm sure being a woman has its perks. I'm sure there's if you put a group of women together, they could tell you what's great about being a woman. But the one thing women do not have is a privilege we have as men. I would not be like, you know, I'm a heterosexual. Like, I'm part of the privilege demographic when it comes to sexuality as a man, as when it comes to relationship, who I'm willing to fuck as a hetero, but okay, maybe not as rape. But my point is, she's right. Okay, the superior race, I mean, you know, you need better PR, lady. But I loved her answer because I rather hear that than fucking... I would love to be black just so I can use the N-word. You know what I mean? Like you know, the white... reminds me of high school is kids we grew up with, and they hung out with us. They were white people would call them wiggers. I hated that word, but it was, you know, they were white people acting black. And then when they became adult, they were like, fuck that shit. I'm more privileged. Now they're wearing suits and own their daddy's company. Okay, fine, you built your own company. But my point is, they realize, yo, this white shit works. Fuck being an N-word. Fuck this bad credit shit, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm not mad at that white lady. Like, I want to broadcast through the world that I fucking... Racism is so fucking bad. It's refreshing to have a white person saying, yo, this white shit is dope compared to being black. I'm tired of, I hate white people who are like, yeah, I would love to dance on beat like you people. Nah, fuck you. I love that Chris Rock joke. He goes, fine, we'll let you say the N-word. We'll let you be black and say the N-word if you give us the ability to control interest rates. Anyways, yeah, man, respect. I'm not mad at that white lady. That's all the point, all right? So this concludes this segment, Captain Save 'em. Now, shout out to this next white lady. Okay, you know what? I don't think it's just a pattern. It's just a fucked up coincidence that I'm praising a second white woman. Damn, all right? And I'll tell you what. And I'm labeling this one with simple answer as thank you for understanding, white lady. And here we go. Wait, did I write? Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Boom. It is a safe bet for a person of color to assume that when they meet you as a white person for the very first time, that you're going to be racist.
Yep.
It's a safe bet. And they're not doing it out of prejudice. They're doing it as survival. They're not doing it because they got anything against you. They're doing it because we as a white collective have proven that we have something against them. And in order to protect themselves emotionally and even physically, they're going to assume that we're racist until proven otherwise. Don't take it personally.
Nope.
If people of color don't motherfucking trust you. Mm-hmm. Because we've taught them that they shouldn't. This is when white feelings are completely and utterly irrelevant. Because we don't have to survive people of color, but people of color have to survive us. It is not prejudice. It is survival.
This right here is why... I just lost the thought. What I mean by I don't like letting racism surprise me. When shit goes in the news, fun fact, white people, when I meet you, I've already pictured you using the N-word. I've already pictured finding out that you did blackface when you were younger. I've already pictured you, like, I braced myself for the impact that you're going to do some racist shit because it's survival. It's just the way I maintain my sanity. If I allow myself to constantly be surprised at the Justin Trudeau blackface, if I allow myself to wait for a white person to get drunk to drop the N-word, you know, I'd lose my fucking mind. You know what? We'd both die. We would both die. You know what I mean? It's the way I preserve my sanity. And it's one of these things I've known, I just never articulated because I'm always surrounded by white people. And white people are very sensitive about, you know, you not liking them. What did I do? The whole racist, the whole slavery thing had nothing to do with that. That was my ancestor. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they always, that's not me. That was bad white people, but I'm not one of them. I mean, okay, this, I can go longer on this. I could, like, this is one of those unstructured thoughts that I should write down. But I'm just going to end it with thank you, white lady. And if we were to have a conversation about the benefit, quote unquote, benefit of slavery, like Florida's trying to have, it wouldn't be about how, oh, welding and bullshit like that, or skills that we, like, skills that the enslaved already had. It wouldn't be about that. It'd be about all the shit we learned about white people. That would be the benefit of slavery. That would be the benefit of slavery. The shit we learned the hard way about white people and their understanding of humanity. My point is, your children's feelings are going to get hurt. Any conversation you try to have about slavery, your kids' feelings will be hurt. All right, I forgot that I'm on a clock here, so let me try to rush this here. All right, okay. Next here I got, this is in French. I'm still debating on what kind of audience do I want. Do I want an audience that's bilingual or that only speaks English? So this next clip is in French, and I'm going to play it. I'm not going to translate it, but I'm going to play it and then summarize it. Here we go. Shout out to TikTok.
Découvrir t'es qui, c'est une aventure, c'est comme faire défricher à l'intérieur de toi toute la marde que t'as accumulée, puis tous les costumes que t'as accumulés, puis tous les tics, puis les codes que t'as accumulés pour ne jamais être différent ou ne jamais trop être exclu d'un groupe, là. Puis plus t'avances dans la vie, puis tu comprends que, OK, genre, il faut que je me débarrasse de tel costume, tel masque, telle affaire, tu peux tranquillement devenir toi-même, puis ça fait du bien, mais ça vient avec beaucoup de... C'est des deuils, devenir soi-même. Mm-hmm. Parce que tu réalises que des gens autour de toi, tu les as intégrés dans ta vie par mensonge. Mm-hmm. Tu comprends? Par nécessité de soutenir un mensonge que tu faisais croire à toi-même, tu sais. Fait que ça, c'est un bout qui est dur.
Message!
All right, I'll tell you why I like that piece. For you who didn't take French immersion, the link will be in the show notes. But the part that I like about what he said is towards the end is on the quest to becoming your more authentic self. I think this is a privilege as a single person you get to do. What I like about what he said is because on the quest to becoming, the complexity of becoming your more authentic self, sometimes some of us realize that you're trying to let go of your fake self, your faker self. Problem is, some people are attached to you because of that fake self. Basically, there are people I know, I'm aware, that are in my life because they enjoyed the older version of Be Black. But unbeknownst to them, that version of Be Black was fake. I'm still working on it, but there's a chameleon in me. I'm a fit-in type of person. I used to be a fit-in type of, but I thought that's how the world worked. You know, fit in or fuck off. I thought that's what the world was about. Not taking space. So I guess what I like the major takeaway from that, what he was saying, is how the older version of you was a lie. And how how you're becoming, as you're becoming more authentic, you become this new person. And that's some people you may lose people because of it. A, you may lose people might walk away, or you might have to cut off people yourself. Anyway, so shout out to this podcast is called Sans Filtre Podcast. Now, it's, if I translate, it means No Filter Podcast. Now, I don't usually trust white people. Any podcast with a white man on there, and they have words like no filters. I don't give a fuck what it says. But I do love this message. And I'm looking at the hashtag. It says, work on yourself, self-work. What the fuck? Oh, I think that's the name of the podcast. Adi Bak Hadley, whatever. Podcast QC Quebec. Podcast Quebec. All right. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to look into them, but she fucking méfiant. Usually when a white boy has a podcast that says no filter, that's just their way of saying at some point we're going to drop the N-word. We're going to smooth you out, you know, but at some point we'll be dropping the N-word. We'll see. But anyways, giving credit when the credit is deserved. There's a clip that I'm dying that I really want to click on, but you know what? I'll save it for the last thought. Okay, what else do I got in here? All right, okay. So this clip here, it's an old clip, but it made me think about the idea of playing with the cards you were dealt with. You might recognize the voice, but if you watch it, it might make more sense. But here we go.
You're a great woman. Why is that okay?
You're great. Why is it okay for women?
Oh, come on, dude. Oh, come on,
internet. And say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
That's okay.
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that shit up?
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I get the same fucking smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss.
Damn.
Dude, you want to step outside? Hey. You want to step outside? Huh? Hey. I'm not standing, pal.
Enough.
You shut up, dude.
You shut
said,
the fuck
no.
up.
Go ahead and attack me, yeah. Jake.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just wanted bagels.
And he got attacked by a guy that was taller than him. The person who shared this is someone I follow on Twitter. He's a funny guy. a funny Twitter account. His name is Joel Oilsheet. And yeah, I'm going to hell because of this account. I'm going to hell for several other reasons, but yeah, this motherfucker ain't helping. Anyway, so his caption was, "If me against the world was a person." Now, a lot of people have been sharing this clip for laughter reasons, but this guy made me think about how, my first thought when I saw it is, yo, this poor guy needs a better role model. Grew up like me with shitty role models. People who didn't allow him to embrace the fact that, yo, you're short. That's your height. Embrace it. This poor guy's probably been going through life like insecure, uncomfortable in his skin. I'm sure he's been singing that song, "I wish I was a bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was something. If I had a chick, I would call her." Whatever. My only reason for sharing this is I'm not laughing. I mean, I probably laughed before, but I'm not laughing because I consider the possibility that all those time I was uncomfortable, all those time I spent wishing I was someone else but myself, made me realize that I won't say no different from him, but I'm kind of look like, in my mind, I was telling myself, fuck, I hate myself. I hate who I am. I hate looking in the mirror. And basically, I spend a significant part of my life wishing God gave me different set of cards. And then I look at this man and I'm like, damn, I sound as silly as him. And I'm not dissing him. I'm like, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's his insecurity. It's unfortunate he didn't develop. Basically, what's that saying from that line by Tyrion? Tyrion from Game of Thrones. He said, "Know who you are, bastard." He's talking to Jon Snow because he was a bastard, right? "Know who you are. Know who you are." Fuck, fine. I'll see the exact same quote. It goes, what's the quote? Tyrion. Why can't you give him a Christian name? Tyrion quote. All right. "Never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like an armor. It can never be used to hurt you. Through the injustice of how the world treats him, angers Tyrion." Okay, right. Anyway, okay. The important part is never forget who you are. So that poor guy is just uncomfortable with his skin. He thinks he's angry at the women who are dissing him online. But the truth is, hold on a second. The camera's fucking with me again. The truth is, okay, I'm turning off this reframing because it's freaking me out. The truth is, oh, I can't turn it off. Son of a bitch. All right, yeah, the truth is, he's angry. Like, I know what that's like. You have this anger, you think it's for the world, but deep down inside is you haven't made peace with the cards that God dealt you. I'm not preaching to that dude. You know, he's got his own set of problems. I'm just seeing that I have a bit of a trait. I've been having a little bit of his fault. I can relate to that fault. That's what I'm saying. All right. Next. Okay. Shout out to Dwayne Morgan. Okay. I made reference to Carabana. And Dwayne Morgan, he's a poet from Toronto. And he had something to say about, thank God, it's a TikTok clip. Okay. So he says, how do I introduce this clip? Oh man, okay. So the Stitch incoming. Basically, it's a clip about some religious nutcase, some Christian nutcase is looking at kids in one frame, it's his face, and in a separate frame is kids dancing, kiddies in carnival. Oh, in Toronto, right? So kids embracing their culture. Carnival kids. Caribbean kids from the Caribbean, and they're dancing, they're embracing their culture, they're wearing, you know, the outfit, and this asshole figures, I'm going to use some white man logic and And you know what? I'll let him speak. And then Dwayne Morgan, Stitch and Common, drop some science about this asshole's behavior. So here we go.
This is pedophilia. This is broken homes.
You can watch the video to find out what else the creator had to say, but I wanted to touch on a couple of things. First of all, watching children embrace and celebrate their culture is not pedophilia. Children don't create pedophilia, pedophiles do. Now, if you're watching children celebrate and embrace their culture, and pedophilia comes to mind, it is probably because you are sexualizing the children, and that is extremely problematic. To then go on to say this is the problem in the Black community using Bible verses from a version of the Bible that has created such harm in the Black community is also extremely problematic.
Message!
Oh, beautiful. I can't add more to it. Just, it drives me nuts when Black folks use white man's logic, white man's religion to judge our own ancestral culture, our shit. It's kind of like, reminds me of how Haitians got talked into dropping voodoo, the fucking religion that freed them from slavery, and adopting Christianity. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. So shout out to Dwayne Morgan, man. Again, links in the show notes. Okay, what else do I got in here? All right, two more to go. All right, remember that thing about Jess Hilarious? She was responding. She was speaking about, hey, we are the real women, something about periods. Turns out I didn't have the full story about the Jess Hilarious, quote, Jess Hilarious the comedian, right? But I guess if you know what I'm talking about, she just went viral talking about how we, quote unquote, traditional real cis women, don't call me cis, I'm the version of womanhood God wanted me to be, you know. Basically, she just, what I didn't know, she was responding to someone else. And the clip I'm about to show is from Explains, the full content. Basically, Black folks, we got played again. Black folks, we got played. And I'll play it and I'll make more sense at the end than the intro I'm trying to give you. But here we go. Shout out to, hold on a second. Shout out to,
how are you projecting your anger on real women?
God damn it. I hate when I hit pause and this stupid thing won't listen. That's how the revolution starts, man. These computers, man. All right, focus. Shout out to Rick Lewis. The Eric Lewis. He's a content creator that I follow and intelligent human being. And the caption to this video is, y'all let them play you. Oh my God. Here we go.
How are you projecting your anger on real women, because we are the
key. Tell me why I'm just finding out that video the Black trans woman made saying that essentially cis women don't own a womanhood and they don't own periods was a 2-year-old video made in response to a cis woman being violently transphobic towards a trans man.
You don't even know the context. That video was me responding to a cis woman being transphobic to a trans man, which is why I said you don't own period, you don't own womanhood. A Republican went on my page, because the video is 2 years old, went on my page, clipped it, and had that quick little moment, put it on Twitter, and went viral, and it had like 5 million views in one day. And that's how the drama started. And then someone clipped it and put it on Instagram, and that's how Jess got involved.
Anybody who's on Twitter knows the account lives of TikTok. They usually post inflammatory content targeting people who are left-leaning or who they consider liberals. This account on Twitter essentially went looking through this woman's profile for content to completely strip of its context, send out to Twitter, and trusted that Black folk would do the work on their behalf of dogpiling, yep, harassing, disposing of, sending this woman death threats. This whole entire time y'all were making it seem as though this woman came out of left field targeting specifically cis Black women. Y'all did not do your due diligence. Y'all did not do your due diligence. How can we as a community aspire towards liberation when y'all are so driven by blogs and misinformation? Because why didn't y'all go look? Why didn't y'all go find the context?
Message.
Yo, you know what? This is another reminder of Black folks getting played by racism. You know, a feature of racism, it's not just white people. A feature of racism is it has white people confused about who the real enemy is. Another feature of racism working against us is how it's got Black folks confused about who their fucking enemies is as well. Black people are starting to act like we're not losing this war against racism. Is still kicking our ass, people. Just because you're not constantly seeing Rodney King clips on a daily basis, we're fucking losing. We're forgetting that. Part of this rant comes from the fact that my Twitter feed, fuck you, Elon Musk, my Twitter feed is flooded with black folks talking this, I think the word foundational black folks, they call themselves, or black people born in America. It's flooded with black people, black Americans who feel, I was going to say for some reason, but no, I get it, right? They fell for the fucking, they're falling for the okey-doke too, but who feel like they're the oppressed group within black folks. They're not being acknowledged. They're not being like, yeah, we are black, but we're the exception to the rule. Like, they're not, like, their struggle ain't our struggle. Okay, granted, there's uniqueness to being a black American, for sure. You know what? I start this podcast, when I say protected by the red, the black, and the green, that's my way of saying that even though I grew up as a black Canadian, even though I grew up as a son of a Haitian parent, I turn to black American culture for my identity. It's only as an adult, it's only after I spent time in the States that I was finally able to recognize, like, oh shit, I am not a black American. What I am is an ally to black America. I'm a black man who's an ally to, I mean, we're one big happy family, but if we're going to hold on to our identity, then yeah, I'm a black Canadian raised, who was born from Haitian parents. My identity is fucked up. But I do have nothing, mad love for black American culture. You know what? Okay, hold on a second. I'm trying to appease the ignorant. I'm realizing, okay, I'm fuck the ignorant, right? Flooded with ignorant ass black Americans who are acting like they're the victims of black folks, what it is, right? Or like the rest of us have no respect for them, or some bullshit that works to the advantage of white people. And by white people, I mean racism. Hold on, my camera's fucking with me again. Here we go. Me, asshole. All right, okay. Anyway, yeah, so, sorry, I'm calling my camera an asshole. But it's like black folks are constantly looking for reasons to separate. If it's not that, see, this, by the way, white people, this is the reason why genocide, the white genocide, it won't be by our hands. No fucking way, because black folks can't come together for shit. Unless you drop the N-word. That's, you know, that's a different story. But unless you're, like, refusing to park your undock your pontoon and drop the N-word, then yeah, we'll come together. I'll fucking swim to hand you an ass whooper. But black folks ain't coming together for shit. If it's not that, then it's sexuality. I'm convinced that behind my back, black folks had a group of black folks had an agreement with white people, and they said, look, all right, look, niggas, we're not gonna get rid of racism. What we will do is give us someone else we can be racist again. And black folks said, we'll give you our black trans community. We'll give you our member of the LGBTQ community. Like, there's that fight going on. Anyway, so what D. Eric Lewis was trying to explain is how the fuck y'all fell for it, man. If you took the time to listen what that trans woman was saying about period, it wasn't an attack on you as an individual, as a woman. But they, but that's our enemy now. That's the enemy it's just disappointing, man. That's what we've decided to make an enemy. Meanwhile, the white man get rich off of all of that. All right, okay, where am I? Okay, last but not least, this one is my man, Donnell, what's his name again? Church ideologies that harm men. And it's going to relate to my final thought. So here we go. Donnell Reuters, is that his name? Okay, am I really going to fuck up his name? Yeah, hold on a second.
I sure did.
All right. Donnell writes. Oh, very clever. Donnell writes. Anyway, content creator. And he says a lot of smart shit. And this one starts with how men internalize the temptress. Thank you for mentioning how these ideologies are also hurting men. All right, I'll let it, you know what? I'll let this articulate brother explain it himself. Again, links to this content is in the show notes. Here we go.
I share the story in the interest of transparency about my growth and evolution, about the ideologies I've had to unlearn, and how these deeply rooted ideas manifest. So in 2011, I self-published a book of poetry to help fundraise for my home church. I was 16 years old and, again, deeply rooted in the church. We're talking 3 to 4 times a week for about 10 years to that point. And a poem I wrote in that book was entitled I Hate That I Love You, and it was about women as temptresses. It was a very poorly written poem, by the way. These are the opening lines where I depict women as seductive temptresses and devils. And in the poem, I tell the story about this temptress seducing a man and him escaping right before he sinned and slept with her. I was 16 years old. It makes me cringe to read now, but these are the ideas that frame my relationship with women growing up in the church as a young man. Yep. Nothing about this ideology taught me how to have healthy relationships with women. If anything, it taught me how to hypersexualize them and avoid them, and to view their very existence in my presence as a potential threat to the salvation I was taught was more important than anything. And while I was fortunate enough to develop relationships, to get access to resources, to get a formal education to unlearn these ideologies, many men, black men in particular, are not. And a lot of them grow up hating women and viewing them as threats. And it's in this way that cycles of ideological violence and ultimately physical violence continues. Like and follow for more content.
Message!
All right, beautiful. Yo, this, okay, I realize this is what inspired the final thought. So before I jump to final thoughts, I am going to recommend that you check out, if you go into show notes, there's an extra section called Other Things That I Liked on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And it's things that I could have easily talked about on in this segment, but we're short on time, and I gotta go see a movie soon. What time is it? Oh shit! I gotta get ready, man. All right, yeah. So yeah, I gotta go see a movie soon. Fuck, I'm hungry. Damn, I had shrimp and kimchi, and whatever, man. Well, what was I saying? Yeah. So a lot of these links will put a link, will put a smile on your face. Or will be inspiring, or one of them is why I'm not going to watch Oppenheimer. You know what? Shout out to these content creators. The Toronto principal who, you know, I'm going to take this out. Okay, that's not going to be in there. But most of these are like, will put a smile on your face. All right? Okay. All right. So, they're inspiring. Learning to forgive yourself. Disrespect versus being considerate. Close to the Edge by Fulton Lee. He's a singer. Don't play it so light. You know what? I'm going to play this. You know, don't play it so light. I love when black women, when I find a video of a black woman saying some inspiring shit to black men. But it feels, and not just that they're saying to black men, but they say it in a way that I feel inspired. Like, I feel like she's talking to me directly. It reminds me when I, this one black, okay, you know what, don't play it live. But it reminds me when I was, when I went to go visit, when I was in Jamaica. And I think I visited Bob Marley's estate. And I was with a group of white people, right? And I remember walking in, and this one sister with dreads, it's as if she could sense my low self-esteem or my low perception. And she just said, something with the law, rise, black man, or you beautiful black man, whatever. It just blinked. I remember, I was like, yeah. And it was just, anyways, man. Shout out to sisters who, you know what? Shout out to all you content creators. Shout out to all you content creators who just put out content meant to inspire people like me. But in addition, shout out to black women content creator who also do the same. I feel like I need to acknowledge, I mean, all of you, but I'm just like, because you could be spending it saying, fuck you niggas. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, yeah. One's about why I'm not going to watch Trump. Oh, one of them that you're going to like is Trump supporter realizes that he's part of a cult. And the last one, it just makes me laugh. All right. Okay. So, So check out the other links and you're welcome. All right. So let's jump to final thoughts. Okay, all right, let's do this. Yeah, okay. I mentioned earlier that RIP to Sinead O'Connor, and you know when a celebrity dies, people share their thoughts about them, and people started sharing thoughts that I completely forgot about Sinead O'Connor. On my journey, I think the word is deconstruction. On my journey to becoming an ex-Christian, Sinead O'Connor, I still remember there was this clip a long time ago. I'm that old. There was a scene or I remember hearing about Sinead O'Connor showing a picture of the Pope and ripping it. And I remember going, what the fuck? Seize her. I wasn't upset by it, but I was like, it was like more of someone feels what I feel. I'm proud that she did that. Unfortunately, from what I hear, it hurt her career. But in from the perspective of infinity, from internal life, like she's passed away, but that action lives on today. Like I thank her for doing that. Cause fuck the Catholic Church, especially fuck the Pope. Yeah, that was significant. That was significant too. Sorry, what's his name? Here we go. Oh my God, I keep fucking up that brother's name. It goes W Camo Bell. I'm gonna pronounce it in French. W Camo Bell. Camo Bell. Yeah, and he shared a thoughts about. I'm not really following this guy. Oh, boof. Sorry, let me fix that. What do you say? He goes, we often talk about musicians doing things that are hardcore punk rock gangster. Well, this level of hardcore punk rock gangster, keeping it real, that most musicians will never attempt to hit. Sinead O'Connor took her platform on Saturday Night Live that was set up to sell records, and instead she made a blistering political statement. I remember sitting at home like, what? Whoa. What just happened? What happens next? Yeah, man, I stand. Yeah, he speaks for me too when he says that. She was an incredible artist, but this will always secure her as a legend. And she did it while singing another legend song, Bob Marley's War. Damn, that's badass. So she was a badass human being. And to that I say, RIP, Sinead O'Connor. Thank you. Thank you. You know, there's some people's existence you're just grateful for. Another thing too is to remember about Sinead O'Connor is Sinead O'Connor had MC Light feature on her song back even before R&B acts were comfortable having rappers on their track. In 1988, she released "I Want You, Hands on Me" to fully credited MC Light in the same size front. Even shared a 12-inch cover with her. Not everyone did that. All right, last but not least, I'm going to share an interview with by Sinead O'Connor and to finalize this RIP. Found this on TikTok, and here it goes.
You said she cut your hair off.
Yeah.
Why do you keep your hair shaved?
When we were children, my sister had the most beautiful red hair, glorious red hair, the type you'd be jealous of, like just beautiful. You know, like that gorgeous woman on that show Mad Men? You know, that woman that just like Jessica Rabbit looking, you know. But my mother took it into her head that my sister's hair was ugly and horrible and disgusting. And she started, when I had long hair, she would introduce us as her pretty daughter and her ugly daughter. And that's why I chopped my hair off. I didn't want to be pretty. It was dangerous to be pretty too, because I kept getting raped and molested everywhere I went.
Have you ever told anybody that's why you keep your hair cut short?
Come with a couple of my friends, you know. But that was a huge part of it. I didn't want to be raped. I didn't want to be molested. I did not want to dress like a girl. I did not want to be pretty. It, you know, other girls beat you up if you're pretty too. The other reason was in the music business. I was asked one day by my record company, would I grow my hair long and wear short skirts? Because they wanted to sell me on my sexuality. And I was like, I didn't want to be sold on that. I wanted, if I it was going to be successful, I wanted to be because I was a good musician. So I said, no, it's got to be about how I sound and not how I look. Plus, I was a protest singer. I came from an age of protest singers.
Protest singer.
The artists I was influenced by, etc., they weren't the type that were selling themselves on how they looked.
R.I.P. Sinead O'Connor. Actually, let me get her full name. Her government name is Sinead. Did I really not? Okay, I didn't save it. Okay, whatever. You don't make me save it. Sinead. Pour out a little liquor. If I live in an apartment, I would pour out some actual liquor. So, Shuda Sadek. All right, she converted to Islam. Shuhada Sadakat, known professionally as Sinead O'Connor, was an Irish singer, songwriter. Okay, I thought, what was her full name? But whatever, okay, we'll just remember that. But RIP. Okay, all right. Now, final thoughts, the real final thought. Well, I mean, that's final thoughts, but what's up with today's title? Okay, instead of copy, usually every title is like some extract from some rap lyric, but this title, I decided to capture a mood. For those of you who don't know, we have in Toronto, there's the Caravana, Caravana Celebration. We refer to it as Caravana Long Weekend. And every year, you know, we do a pilgrimage to Caravana to look at the booty, booty, butt cheeks. You know what I mean? It's like in the States, in Atlanta, you guys had Freaknik. Not that people got Freaknik in Atlanta, but it was a reason for black folks to come together. And I'm talking about black folks even outside from the States. States would drive in. It was fun watching all these foreign license plate. The furthest I've seen, I can't remember. I think I've seen Florida license plates once. Florida, Atlanta. Atlanta's the city or the Georgia? Yeah, Georgia license plate. Illinois. It was just fun watching all these different license plates. And then Quebec. And then you have us losers with Je me souviens license plate. But it was fun. It was interesting. It was a great day to. It was a fun weekend, fun packed weekend. But as you got older, it was harder to go because, you know, my friend would go. Well, most of my friends attended more times than I did. And so they wouldn't go. So I would rarely have someone to go with. And, but it just made me think all those times that I was thinking about, oh, Caravan is going on, and I was stuck in Ottawa. And I remember just driving around looking at everyone like, you fucking losers. You should be closing shop. Caravan is so fucked up. Young couples, not now, used to break up to go to Caravan. Not all couple, but some couple would break up and then come back. Hopefully no one got pregnant. No one was pregnant or got someone pregnant, and then they'd get back together. But Caravana was the time to cheat. You hung out with the boys. Girls went with the girls. Boys went with the boys. And it was like a debauchery, man. You were just, it was fun. But, you know, of course you could get tired of it. Now, for me, I'm taking this moment in Ottawa to think about Caravana and reflect on my own personal growth in respecting them bitches. No, okay, that came out wrong. I had a moment where I realized that I used to love nightlife. I used to love... My main reason for going to Caravana wasn't the Caribbean festivals. I mean, that was minor. It wasn't the food. It wasn't celebrity sightings. I mean, that was part of it, but the real part was the girls. The women. Now, usually when a brother talks about the women, he's talking about his escapade. Nope. I'm not in that demographic of men. I'm in the demographic of men who, like Samuel Tarly from Game of Thrones. He's the second Game of Thrones character that I referenced. And I was thinking about this one scene where he's with Jon Snow and he says, hold on a second. Did I really not? Oh, wait, hold on a second. It's in my second browser, which is over here. Did I really not? Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. All right. Because I want to get the exact quote, he says, I miss girls. Okay. My point is this. I'm trying to make a point is I was not a pickup artist. I was not the kind of guy that you would consider having game. Didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I probably, you know, you could probably, 1, 2, 3. I didn't have a lot of girlfriends. I was not the kind of guy who approached women. What I did do was I was the kind of guy who stared. And every time I went clubbing, I remember that that's my routine. Again, this is not meant to be a poor me thing. This is just me acknowledging that my nightlife pretty much came down to just me enjoying the eye candy, the stimulation, the visual stimulation. I used to, I don't know how to put it in words, but put it in words, but it's like I enjoyed the physique of women. Staring at women. I used to love how they would show up to the club dressed up, looking sexy, hair done. I didn't know that a lot of work went into this presentation layer. To me, they were the equivalent of staring through Sears catalog and getting to the brassiere section. I don't know. It's like I think I got this addiction to the visual stimulation that came to looking at a well-dressed woman. By well-dressed, whether she's being slutty, whether, quote-unquote slutty, I mean tight clothing. If you ever caught me saying I love women, what I was actually saying, I love pretty women and looking at them. Not engaging with them, because in my mind, they were a reflection of all my failures. Like, I already felt like a loser. And to me, women were like pride possession. It was like, they were like that thing that came when you were successful. What they were that thing that came with a nice car. If you were rich or somewhat of status or a celebrity, like you were muscular. You were basically all these things that I didn't have. So I grew up making myself comfortable with just staring and picturing, like making images in my head. I'm thinking of a line by, did I save it? I'm thinking of a line by, where did I put that rap lyric? By the rapper. All right, fine. I'll Google it. Did I really not? It goes passing me by. Passing me by. And The Far Side. Jesus Christ. But the name of the rapper. My favorite verse is the last one. And it's by Fat Lip. And now there she goes again. The dopest Ethiopian. And now the world around me begins moving in slow motion whenever she happens to walk by. Why does the apple of my eye overlook and disregard my feelings no matter how I try? I did not really pursue my little princess with persistence. And it was low-key that she was unaware of my existence. From a distance, I desired her, secretly admired her. That's what I enjoy. That's what Caravana was for me. Finding these dopest Ethiopian, or whatever, any girls, you know, I didn't discriminate, black, white, whatever, you know, especially in the reggae club. I used to enjoy watching them dance. I wasn't creepy. At least I don't think so. Maybe there's some girl out there going, ah, this motherfucker right there. Yeah, I was creepy about it. I was low key, but I was that guy who would like nudge, yo, check her out. I remember, okay, I used to talk a lot about, oh, there's gonna be girls at this club. My cousin once caught me. And caught me in the sense that, because I was talking a lot about, yo, I can't wait to see these girls. There's going to be a lot of girls in these clubs. And in his mind, he thought I meant, he goes, dude, I can't wait to see you spit game at these girls. I'm like, spit game? I'm just there to stare. It's hard to admit. What inspired me to share this take was the last thing I played by Donald Wright, and when he talked about how he grew up and how some of these notions from church were harmful to men. Now, I don't know. I am not clear. I haven't really done a deep dive into how I got this way. All I just knew is that I was a shy guy. I never felt like I had what it takes to approach, have a conversation with these girls. Actually, I'll erase all that. No, what made it worse is I didn't see these women as human beings. I just saw them as these beautiful, shiny things, like these work of art, these walking work of arts that you just look at, admired from a distance. And, you know, every once in a while, I'd find a nurse to talk to a girl, but, you know, and if I got lucky, you know, hey, I'm dancing with one or something like that. But I wasn't looking for anything concrete. Nah, they were just, I remember one time this one girl, she says, yo, just act like we're human beings. I'm like, I didn't say those words, but I'm like, but you're not. When I look at you all done up, a whole bunch of fucking thoughts go through my mind that I can't control. It's sometimes I wonder if there's a link between that and the first time I was introduced to pornography. One thing's for sure is, as a teenager, after puberty, I did not have the proper guidance or did not get the right instruction. Man, fuck sex ed. I had not the right instructions to deal with these feelings inside me when it came to the opposite sex. And not just the opposite sex. I mean the privilege. Opposite sex with who won the genetic lottery. The opposite sex who just knew how to make herself look sexy or look in a way that, you know what, if we get together, this pussy will knock your socks off. It was all lust. I remember one year, this is what my life changed. The one year it was International Women's Day. And I can't remember what sparked that realization, but it hit me. I'm like, oh, shit. The reason we need International Women's Day is because guys like me, to remind guys like me that you can't, to stop guys like me from judging all women by whether or not you want to put your penis in them, whether or not they'll let you screw them. Like, that was my criteria for judging women. It's not my intention to be offensive. I'm saying I had some fucked up notions when it came to women. I'm actually surprised, or maybe I should be grateful that I didn't go the incel route. But I am gonna say that I had some fucked up notions about women, and that's all Caravana was about, man. Just another opportunity to go stare at more women. supply to add material to the spank bank material. To add more spank bank material. This year, I'm not mad that I'm not a Caravana. I'm okay. I'm at peace with the fact that I'm in Ottawa, chilling, having this moment of slept reflection, and saving a lot of money. But I'm just saying, I guess if I would do it all over again, I kind of wish I was just more mindful. I wish, if I had to do it all over again, I wish I was more understood, had a better understanding of who I am, what I was, how this mental stimulation, I mean, not that I was being bad, as harmless as it was, the one thing I wasn't doing, I was forgetting, is these women were human beings. I mean, I wasn't interested in getting a relationship. I just was interested in having more information for the spank bank. You know what? I guess I'm thinking about the thing that I would do differently is, as I was admiring these women from a distance, I was also hating myself, because at that time I had this belief that I was hating, it was just feeding material to why I should continue to hate myself, because I was hating myself for not being what I thought I would need to be to have her, someone like that in my life. Nah, I say someone like that, but it was a journey in self-hatred at the same time. So I want to end, it's like staring at a car you can't afford. That's the best way I can describe that feeling. Why would you do that to yourself? That's how great the eye candy was. That's how remember, I should remind you that I was a highly sensitive person. As a highly sensitive, you tend to feel things like the lights are brighter. Sounds is more intense. Taste is more, like, you feel things, I believe that's the definition, more than the average human being. And that's why I just got off on just looking at these pretty women. Exactly like Fat Lip said, man. From a distance, desiring them and secretly admiring them. And then going home drunk. And then I wouldn't lie about my conquest, but I would enjoy having a conversation about, yo, there was a lot of chicks at this place. And then one else bragged about, yeah, I got one number. Fuck you, asshole. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. All this to say that I am not mad that I'm spending. I'm in Ottawa during Caravana weekend. I am going to play this video that was driving me nuts. It goes, you know what? Okay. I forgot. I'm running out of time. Where is it? It goes someone at Caravana. And I wonder what that's about. Thought I missed it. God damn it. Is this it? Is this it? No, this ain't it. Is this it?
I shared this.
Nope, that's not it. Is this it? Nope. I don't believe this Elon Musk called Twitter X. It's driving me nuts, but that's another conversation. Fuck. No, there's this video I saw. Okay, doesn't matter. Oh, my God. All right. Okay, running out of time. All right. Hey, this concludes the 100th episode of Shut Up Podcast. Today's episode. Okay, I'm going to end with one last quote. It goes, may life treat you exactly the same way you treat servers, store clerks, senior citizens, children, and animals. Well, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me. You can DM me on Twitter. It's called, fuck it, man. I'm calling it Twitter. Fuck you, Elon. Man, just delete Twitter, dude. Just delete it, right? You can holler at me on Twitter. My handle is bblizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Or on TikTok at b.black. Or, keep it classy, go to the website shutuppodcast.com. Yes, I do remember I was supposed to give you an update on the extra feature that I was supposed to add to the website. And turns out that if I pay for it, I have the feature. So I'm still working on it. It's still a work in progress. I haven't forgotten you. All right? So website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. Yo, thank you for listening. Seriously, from the bottom of my heart. 100 episodes and beyond. And remember, still always, we're sticking to the motto of be kind to your favorite podcast. Yo, peace, stay safe, and
I am your king now!